Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
So how many of you discovered you are beautiful? You are wonderful? How many of you have worked out you are a gift to humanity? All right. Now some of you, I know some of you are going to struggle with this idea. I get it. Some of you are like, you just said the same thing. You didn't change anything. I thought you were going to make it easier for us to get our heads around it. No. Yes. I said the same thing. And you need to know this. I'm going to continue to say it over and over and over and over. Yes, you are beautiful. Yes, you are wonderful. And you are a gift to humanity. I'm going to say it as many times as I need to say it until you realize that you are a child of God. I say you are a child of God. You've been purchased with a price. That price was the blood of Jesus Christ, that you might live and dwell and do the things that God has prepared and planned for you to do in advance. Now, just so we're clear, as I talk about doing the things that God has prepared for you to do, understand this. It's way more about, from heaven's point of view, it's way more about who you be being than what you be doing. Now, some of you are like, gee, this is a great English lesson right here. How many of you, English, good, got it good, got it worked out, grammar good, all the rest of that. How many of you know, in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? Yeah. Give me a wave. All right, I'm not going to let you sit there. All right, if you're in Christ, it's more about who you be than what you do. Many of us have grown up in families, churches, religious experiences, where it's all about what you do, and far less about who you be. But when Jesus comes into your life and comes into your world, the being is far more important than the doing. In John chapter 12, reading from verse 24, it says here, I tell you the truth. How many of you know when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, he's got some truth to drop? Yeah. Yeah? It'd be like mic drop moment. Here we go. That would be the modern day reality translation, wouldn't it? Jesus is about to drop the mic by telling us some truth. I think when we read the word and we read, whenever Jesus said, I'm going to tell you the truth, we need to be all ears because he's about to tell us something that we need to hear. He says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. How many of you want the Father to honor you? The key to having the Father honor you is to serve Jesus Christ. Now, last week I launched into a new message, and that message began with, in the beginning, God. In the beginning with God. We went on this journey, a discovery tour. Who is God? Maybe you've come to church today and you're asking that same question. Maybe you're a guest today. You're asking that same question. We're here. It's like there's a whole lot of stuff going on. It's like I can sense it. I can feel it. I don't know exactly what's happening. Who is God? We went on that discovery tour and we discovered that God is love. Praise God. How many of you know that God is love? How many of you have been touched by that love, set free by that love, saved by that love? We're recipients of this great love. We went on this journey and we discovered that God wants to release his love into every part of our life, into our hearts and into our lives and the spaces and the places that just make up our whole being. And he wants that love to come in. And I've got to tell you, church, that love, and many of you know this, it is beyond comprehension. And it's beyond our understanding. We can't get our head or our hearts around how great and diverse and deep and mysterious this love is. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Now, we've got a few verses to look at today. And it's like, just so you know, we are a Bible-believing, teaching church. We don't have another book. We've only got the book. The book. We've only got the Bible. Friends, can I encourage you, when we stop preaching out of the Bible, go find another church. Yeah. Because when it comes to our ideas, some of them may be okay. Some of them are probably going to be average. But how many of you know God's ideas are always right? Always right. You can give God praise if you're thankful for that. God's ideas are always right. This is what it says here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. How many of you know we live in a world that in many places is a little bit on the tightwad side, a little bit on the stingy side? But how many of you know your God is not stingy? Your God is not tight. When it comes to the love that He wants to put upon you, it's not like a little bit. As in, when I was young, I used to go to my grandma's house and she'd bring out these scones. My dad can make a mean scone. It's like, as in, he does everything wrong, but he puts the scones in the oven and they rise so high. And it's like, but how many of you know a scone by itself, it's not enticing. But how many of you know when you lavish the jam on? All right. When you lavish the jam on and then you get the cream and you put a whoop of, you know, the lavishing the cream. So you got your scone, your jam, and your cream, and your eyes are going like that. How many of you know that is how you want to take the scone? How many of you want to live life that has been lavished with a love that is beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding? This is what God wants to do. He wants to lavish His love on you to the point where you are smacked in the head, smacked in the heart, smacked in the brain, where it comes into every part of your life, where you're like, where you're actually like, it's like you get punch drunk in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden you wake up and it's like, can life be this good? Can God be this good? Can His love be this good? I used to hear about this love. I grew up in church. People are talking about the love of God. And it's like, I'm like, what are you guys talking about? What do you want? You know what I'm saying? But then one day I encountered the love of God for myself. Yeah! I encountered the love of God for myself. And then I said to all the people that have been preaching to me for years, why didn't you tell me? They're like, we did, but you told us to nick off. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. This love is unbelievable. The Father wants to lavish it upon you. We can't work this thing out. We come to church and we think this is God, and it is. We go to places and spaces and we're trying to get our heads around it. Abandon your brain and allow God to infiltrate with His love into every part of your life. How great is this love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Yeah. Nah. And that is what we are. It's a miracle. It's a mystery. If you were to ask me, please explain. You know, please explain. Look at me. Please explain. You know, you can't. But you can experience it for yourself. You can receive this love for yourself. I can't explain it with words because my words will fail because English is English and there's English. It's like maybe you're from another country and you speak different languages and maybe your words might be, but I can't explain this love which is transformational. It changes lives. We should be called children of, it's a mystery. That we should be called children of God. It's a mystery and a miracle that we would be called children of God. But you know what's even greater? We are children of God. Not just that we'd be called children of God, but the fact that we actually are children of God. Why? Because the Father, in His kindness and mercy and grace and love, has chosen to lavish His love upon us. In Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 4, it says, but because of His great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, everyone say mercy.
Mercy.
All right, remember that word. We're going to come back to that word at the end. God who is rich in mercy made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. You know, I was not just dead in transgressions. I was almost dead because of alcoholic poisoning. March 1987, Aubrey Base Hospital, unconscious, and Jesus came into my cubicle. Not only did He come into my cubicle, but He came into my heart. People are like, what the heck happened to you? I'm like, I got rolled in a drunk. I came out a Jesus freak. That's what happens when the love of God comes in and invades a man, invades a woman. It doesn't matter what they're struggling with, what they're challenged with. One encounter with God can change everything. And now we're made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. If any of you are saved today, it is the grace of God. It's the love of God, the goodness of God. It's the kindness of God. And God raised us up with Christ. Get this now. It's going to mess with you. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what gutter you were in. I know the gutter that I was in. That's all I can talk about. But God took me out of the gutter, from the guttermost to the uttermost. He reached down to the miry clay and he pulled me up and he put my feet on solid ground and he crowned me with love and compassion and made me his child. And it says here that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Give me a wave if you are in Christ. You're like, I'm getting excited about this. You should get excited about this. As in, if you're not excited, I'm going to come down. Oh, no, not really. But I want you to get it. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. When Jesus comes in, his love changes everything. And he takes you and he seats you in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, he might show you off. Show you off. It's like, that's not what it says. I promise you it does. You got to get it. He wants to show how good he is. He wants to show his love and kindness. He wants to show his mercy and compassion. He wants to show the victorious power of the blood. He wants to show how great his love is. He wants to show the world. Have you seen? Have you seen Arne? Have you seen what God, have you seen? He's my workmanship. I created this guy. This is God speaking, not me. I'm not your dad. All right, he's your dad. But you know what I'm saying? It's like God wants to brag on you. He wants to brag on you. He loves you so much. He gave his son that you might come into relationship with you. Verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. All that I'm talking about is to be seen in you. Seen in you. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. No, and this not from yourselves. No, 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 no. Leora, no, 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 no. It is the gift of God. What God is doing and wanting to do in you, it's a gift of God. Sometimes we get stuck in moments, we get stuck in spaces and places, and like, where is God? I can promise you, when I was in the valley last year, God was with me. If you're in a valley this year, God is with you. If you've got challenges, whatever they may be, God is not a long way off. Just keep crying out, crying out, crying out, because his kindness is all the time towards us. It's not by works. This is the gift of God. It's not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. That's you. You. That's me. That's all of us. You. I know what, I understand it. I understand what people say. I understand words can cut. I understand, you know, I look at the young people in front of me, obviously, and it's like there are times when more mature, older people should be saying kind words, should be building you up. But I'm aware, and you're aware, that we live in a world where people cut each other down. They say mean and hurtful things. They tear each other down. But how many of you know this is not our God? Our God wants to release himself in us that we might live a life that is beyond our wildest dreams. I love the fact that God is so into us. God is so into you. He loves you so much, and you are his workmanship. Don't listen to the naysayers. You know what? If I think about a naysayer, who says nay the most? Horses. Let them go back to their hay. Let them eat their hay. Nay, nay to the hay. That's what I say. All right. Nay, nay to the hay. That's what I say. All right. So stop it. All right. Just wants to come out of me. But I say, no, 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 no. You don't need to listen to the lies of the enemy. You are God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship. Doesn't matter what they say. No, 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 no. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has got a plan. God has got a purpose. God has got a reason for you. You're his workmanship. He's working on you. As in, I love watching car shows, and they get steel and they beat the nonsense out of it to shape it to the way that they want it to be. And how many of you ever feel like God is, you're his workmanship, and he's going to work? Why? Why? Because you're a treasure. You're valuable to him. He loves you. He's got a plan and purpose to win humanity, and you're part of it. Each and every one of you, you are part of it. We are created in him to do good works. And so I say to you again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished. Everyone say lavished. Lavished. Lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And so as children of God, we're called to be and not just to do. I know in a lot of families growing up, do this, do that, do this, do that. Maybe not a lot of help when it comes to who you be. Just do this, do that, do this, do that. We come into religious circles. Once again, do this, do that, do this, do that. Not a lot of attention to who you be. The Father is way more intentional when it comes to who you be than simply what you do. Church, we're called to be a gift to the world. I say we, I'm not talking about enjoy, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me, we, us, yes, the church, but you individually. We are called to be a gift to the world through which all may see the incomparable riches of his grace expressed through his kindness to us who are in Christ Jesus. All right, the New Living Translation, it puts Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 this way. All right, so I said before that God wants to show you off. Some of you are like, I'm not too sure about that. All right, let's have a look at a different translation bringing out the same point. It says here, and so God can always point to us as examples. Oh my God, is there somebody that's happy in the house? It's like, did you say, oh my God? I did, but in a thankful sense, so I'm okay. You know what I'm saying? Oh my God, oh my God. To think that God would want to do such a work in us, such a deep work, such a rich work, such a true work, such a work that he would be able to say, have you seen my daughter Lisa? Can imagine the Father, Son, Holy Spirit having a conversation. And Jesus said, hey, what about Lisa? God's like, oh, have you seen her lately? Have you seen her hair? Have you seen what God is doing? Have you seen what she is doing? Have you seen the way she's loving families in the community? Have you seen the way she takes our love out to people that need hope and people that need help? Have you seen her? Yes, have you seen her? She's a testimony to the goodness of God. But you know what? Wouldn't that be wonderful if we all had a revelation and we all lived in such a way that was like, hey, Lord, you can point to me whenever you want. You can point me out, Lord. Show me off. Because, Lord, I have a revelation of who you are. I have a revelation of what you've given me. And I have a revelation that I'm to take it to the world. I have a revelation, Lord. I have received the incomparable riches of your grace and your mercy. I've received them. And, Lord, I'm here to take them wherever you want. Now, there may be people that, if you're our guest today and you're like, man, there's a whole lot of happy people in this room. There's a whole lot of happy people here. Why are they so happy? It's because we've received the love of God. It's because we've received and we understand the true riches of heaven that have been poured out into our life. And so it is that by faith in Christ Jesus, we access the beautiful grace and we are raised up into heavenly realms with him and are transformed by the power of his love that we might live and dwell and have our being in him. Our being in him. All right. If we hate our lives in this world, how many of you know that that'll enable us to keep our lives forever? But we've got to hate them now that we might have them. I'm not talking about hating yourself. I'm talking about in comparison to all that have in God, I'm laying this down. I'm laying hold of God. If we lose our lives in this world, how many of you know we're going to find them in him? If we lay down our lives, how many of you know he will raise us up again? You don't need to fear. Sometimes like, but if I let go of this, how am I assured that God is going to do what God says he will do? Has God ever lied? Is God a liar? Is God true to his word? Is God faithful and true? Friends, you can be assured. You can rest in the promises of God. You can lay your life down and he will raise you up again. And he will take you to places and spaces that will blow your mind. So let me ask you today, church, how many of you are grateful for the love of God? Give me a wave, you're grateful. Praise God. You're way more than the first service. You guys are awesome. You're listening. Praise God. So I'm going to ask you something again. What language should I speak in? I think I'll go English. All right. So how many of you are grateful for the love of God? Me too. You are too. The reason I'm asking if you're grateful is because if we're grateful, there should be an ever-increasing transformation occurring in us from the inside out. Inside out. Being that leads to doing. Doing doesn't lead to being. Jesus leads to being. Being leads to doing. When we're grateful and thankful and growing in revelation, there should be this ongoing transformation from the inside out to the point where God can point to us as examples, as we've already read, and show the incredible wealth of his favor and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us through Christ Jesus. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates. You know, people say, how many of you have ever been asked, have you ever seen God? I've seen God. I've seen God at work. I've seen God in you. I've seen God perform miracles. I've seen God everywhere. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Have you got a revelation of that yet? Christ died for you? I think it's amazing. When I think about it, when I think about the fact that he would give his one and only son for me, and for you, I'm like, are you for real? And it's like, this love, God demonstrates his love in the fact that while we were still sinners, some of us, we don't get this. We don't understand that the point is we were sinners, which is why Christ had to die for us. God demonstrates his love to this and shows off his beauty, wonder, splendor, mercy, compassion in the fact that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ gave his life so that you and I might have life. Christ died that we would no longer be lost, but that we might be found in him. Found in him. It's when we're found in him, found to be in him, that our spiritual being comes alive. All right. I grew up in church. I wasn't of the church. I heard it all. But spiritually, I was dead. Hadn't yet been born again. Now, I know that whole born again thing in some circles, like, are you born again? I'm like, yes, yeah, I'm born again. Heck, yes, I am. Thank you for asking very, very much. Thank you. I am born again. Are you born again? You got to be born again. Otherwise, you're a human being, but not a spiritual being. You got to be a spiritual being. As in, how many of you, just out of curiosity, how many of you were born human beings? Praise God, 25% of them. All right, now I know there's a whole lot of identity stuff happening in the world today and we're not too sure. But how many of you know, I think most of us are still born as human beings. How many of you were born a human being? All right, now it's not a human bean, it's a human being. All right, it's not a kidney bean, it's not a baked bean or a jelly bean. If it was a coffee bean, I think I'd sign up. But how many of you know, none of us are born as coffee beans either. We are born human beings, but it was always in the redemptive plan of God to redeem us from the power of sin, which has separated us from God, that we might be born again, made alive in him, that we might live and have our everything, find our being in him. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, I love this, for in him we live and move and have our being. That's a strange word. What do we have? We have our being. It's like, now if you're a believer, you may get this. If you're not a believer, you're like, what the heck are you talking about? It's because when we come alive and we find ourselves in Him, we're aware that we are not on this earth by ourselves, but God is with us. We are with God. The Father is with me and I am with the Father. And we find our being begins to take a whole new reality. We find ourselves hidden in Christ Jesus. I love what it says here. And some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. I love that. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. We went to a family gathering yesterday. My dad was there. He's 82. And I had so many of my relatives say, "Whoa, you look like your old man." How many of you know, as God's offspring, we should look like our Heavenly Father? As God's offspring, we should sound like our Heavenly Father. Now, just so you know, my dad's probably watching online today, and Dad, I love you, but the reality is we've got good faces for radio, you know what I'm saying? We've got good radio faces. It's like, that's what I got, but I got no problem looking like my father, but I'm more than wanting to look like my natural father, I want to look like my Heavenly Father. I want everyone to know that, hey, you're His son. You're His daughter. I want the whole world to know. God wants the whole world to know. These are my children in whom I am well pleased. If you see them, you see me, because I am in them and they are in me, and that's how it all comes together. So now that we've received this great love, this wonderful gift of salvation, we're in turn as examples. We are chosen by God. We are His workmanship to step out. We've been recipients of this great love. We've been transformed by this great love. And now we're to take this love and grace and be a gift to the world that they might see Him. See Him. I pray, please, Jesus, help us to be more like You, so that when we enter a room, people might see You. When we enter a conversation, people might hear You. When we jump into a scenario, people might experience You. This is the heart of God for us, and I pray that this is would be our heart also as the worship team come. All right, praise God. We're asking for the worship team, which is an indicator to everybody in the room that we will be done within an hour and a half. All right. Kidding over there, kidding. All right, we're nearly there. Luke chapter 10, are you good? Yeah. We're almost there. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law. I always get nervous when I hear the word expert. Anyone else? Just me. When people introduce themselves and Jesus is introducing Him as an expert, the word does for a reason. And it's like, I just get a little bit nervous when I hear that word expert. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. That's why I get nervous when I see the word expert. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. What do you read? How many of you know that's what Jesus is always going to ask? He's always going to ask the question, what about you? What do you think about this? What do you think it's saying? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Now, if I had been the expert in the law, I would have said, I've done good, I've done right, I've said right, I got commended, that's enough. How many of you know there's always enough in every room? There's always enough. How many of you got friends that are enough-nuffs? They just don't know when to be quiet. You know what I'm saying? They just got to prove their point. They just got to take it another step further. They just got to justify themselves, which is exactly what this man is about to do. He goes on, he says here, but he wanted to justify himself. I'm like, man, why can't you be quiet? He wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? All right, so now it's like, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I just want to clarify this. I don't need to look after everybody, do I? Like, if I just look after my wife, my children, my nephews, my cousins, and I don't want to go, let's not get too radical in here. Let's just look after the immediate family and maybe a couple of other close friends. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest, all right, so in comes the man who's meant to have his stuff together. All right, he's been trained in godliness, been trained in righteousness, trained in the word of God. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. How many of you know what that's called? That's called the look away. The look away. How many of you know there ain't no looking away in the love of God? The look away. You know what I'm talking about. When you're walking down the road, when you're driving down the road, and you see a situation and your heart is moved to do something because God's in you and your heart is moved to do something, but you're like, look away. And you look away and you pass by, and no, that's not you. This is the other location. It's not you, praise God. kidding. It's not us. Maybe sometimes. Oh, yes, I did it. On Friday, I did it. I saw someone beat up on the side of the road. Saw someone I could help. Saw someone with a flat tire. Yada, yada, yada. So, where do we go? So to a Levite, once again, this guy should know better, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side, the look away. But a Samaritan, the thing I love about the Samaritan, he's untrained, ungodly, looked down upon by everybody. But how many of you know, it doesn't matter what they say. It's what's in the heart of a man that matters to God. All right, you should be giving God praise right about there, because that means we can all be what God wants us to be. And so a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, you're saying he stayed with the guy and actually took care of the guy. It's like, this is pretty radical, isn't it? Like dying on a cross would be radical. Probably is. Maybe that's the point. Maybe God's looking for a different type of individual, not someone who's got the appearance of religion but doesn't carry the heart and the love of God. So this man, he takes care of him, took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy. What was the word we used earlier in regard to what God had already shown us? Mercy. The one who had mercy on him, Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. The word mercy, leniency, clemency, compassion, grace, pity, charity, forgiveness, forbearance, humaneness, humanitarianism, mildness, soft-heartedness, tender-heartedness, kindness, sympathy, liberality, tolerance, generosity. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like the love of God. That's the love that we've all experienced. And this is why we need to be a gift to the world. Because now we need to take the same love that we have received and take it out there to a lost and a hurting world. You know, there's so much focus in the church these days on the gifts. And I thank God for all the gifts. But can I encourage you, rather than us focusing all the time on what we'd be doing, if we would maybe just allow God to invade all of our life to the point where we found ourselves being who God would have us be, maybe there'd be a different kind of doing coming out from us. Maybe rather than focus on gifts that bring glory to God, maybe we should focus on being the gift that brings glory to God. Brings us back to where we started, doesn't it? You are a gift from God. John chapter 14, last verse. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Isn't it interesting that Philip had been walking with Jesus? He's walked with him for 3.5 years. And it's like, Phil, don't you know me yet? Have you not worked this thing out? I wonder how many of us have been traveling with Jesus in relationship with God in church Sunday after Sunday, but we haven't worked it out. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Wouldn't it be good if in every workplace, every school environment, every place that we dwell, every place we go, every cafe we go into, people could see Jesus because they've come into contact with us. Wouldn't it be good if they could see Jesus in our kindness to them? You know people. I know people. We all know people that are beat up in life. They've been left for dead in life. We all know people that are broken down on the side of the road of life, going nowhere, no hope, no future. They're lost. They're full of shame. They carry guilt. They don't know which way is up. They've lost all hope. Could it be that you, as a gift from God, because you've received the gift of salvation, the life that comes in Christ, could it be that God is trying to wrap you up with His love and send you out of this room? Now, I love the church, but if this is where it's at, we're missing the point. We are to be the light of the world. It's dark out there and getting darker. I hope and I pray that most of my best ministry doesn't actually happen in here. I hope that most of my best ministry, whatever that may look like, actually happens out there, because it's hurting people out there, broken people out there, lost people out there who need the love of God. Most of us in this room have a revelation of the love of God, walk in the love of God, probably don't need to grow too much more, maybe do, I don't know where you're at, but this one thing I know, the people out there, they all need to know the love of God. Who is going to take the good news of the gospel? How will they hear and repent if someone doesn't tell them about the love of Jesus? Friends, can I encourage you today? You are the gift. Yes, you are beautiful, and you're allowed to smile, and you are wonderful. Your Heavenly Father says so. And what's more, you are a gift. You are a gift. If you would allow God to change your thinking, if you would work with God to have your mind renewed, to begin to understand how precious you are, how powerful you are. Oh, my Lord. I think the church has done well at praying for revival, but not necessarily taking it. Revival begins as we step out of here and be the gift to our neighbor. Your neighbor might live next door. Your neighbor might be a family member. Your neighbor may be in your workplace. I don't know who your neighbors are today, but you will see them. And when you see them, don't turn away. Don't do the drive-by. Turn away. But look to them. Say, Lord, what do I need to do here? How can I minister life? How can I anoint them with oil? How can I care for their needs? As you do that, I promise you, you're going to come alive in ways that you would not even dream about. Fire of God's going to come upon you. Revelation's going to come. Excitement and enthusiasm, and your life will change.